And I am here with Ryan Singh. He is the founder of Can Can Cocktails. How you doing, Ryan?
Doing really good. Thanks.
Thanks for coming out. And you brought with you some Can Can cocktails. What am I looking at here? I see all these cans of some kind of beverage. What is this?
So this high-quality cocktail in a can, that was my vision. I started as a bartender. I've been working in restaurants, being an artist most of my life. And about 2 years ago, I was behind the bar, and I was thinking, oh, I should get a canner and do some cool canned drinks for the customers. And then I was like, well, how about I just get a canner and make some canned drinks
you
and sell them,
a business.
You know?
Okay, so let's break one of these open. You know, we love it when if a guest brings free samples, you know, we're always happy. So I want to make sure I taste this. It's 5 o'clock. Is there alcohol in this stuff?
There's plenty of alcohol here.
All right, it's 5 o'clock somewhere.
Cheers to you.
Cheers. What flavor am I drinking here?
So this is our bestseller. This is the White Linen. It's a Sacramento famous cocktail.
Oh, nice. Tastes
made
good.
With cucumbers, elderflower, a little lemon, real sugar, vodka.
Okay. Sounds healthy.
Yeah. It's very,
that's awesome. Okay, this is great.
That one's good.
So what's the alcohol content on this? Just so, so in case you decide to go do something after this.
8.3. So each can, you're looking at about 2.5 ounces of vodka. So they're about a double.
Okay, so the vodka is the kind of alcohol that's
vodka.
In it.
Vodka. I do have one bourbon drink also.
Okay.
Which is one of my favorites.
Well, yeah. So, okay. So you've been working behind the bar this whole time, right? You're a bartender. And you decide to go out on your own as an entrepreneur making can cocktails. Now, that... I can't imagine that that was easy. What happened?
It's nuts. It's funny when you have, like, you know, my background's, I'm an artist, right? So I do all the artwork on the label. And so I was like, I'm just going to make this thing and see what people like. So we started with a Kickstarter. I raised about 11 grand from that.
Okay.
I took on some private investment after
Kickstarter, that's basically, walk me through that. How do
it's
you
like
do that?
It's like a crowdfunding thing that... I did it to test the water, so I made a little video, and I showed the idea, what I was doing, and then ran it by what people thought, and we got funded really fast.
You got funded by your customers. Is that how it works?
It was funny. It was a mix of, like, bar regulars, family, and some random people around the country who just thought it was kind of a cool idea.
Uh-huh. So it's this can. Where do you sell? I mean, if I wanted to buy some of this stuff, do I go to a bar? Do I go to a restaurant?
We're currently sold all around the country. Locally, we're sold at Raley's and Nugget.
Okay.
And some cool little mom and pop shops like Curtis Park Market and stuff. And then...
And do I buy it in the health food area? Because you say it's healthy, right?
Yeah. You can pretend you're in the health food area. There's the mental health area.
Okay, yes.
So, yeah, we're categorized as a distilled spirit, so anywhere you can buy booze.
Okay, gotcha. And so then, you go into Raley's, you pick it up, and it comes in like these little four packs?
Yeah, little four packs, or you can, some places sell it individually. And there just wasn't anything out there of, like, a high-quality drink in a can. A lot of the stuff was artificially flavored. It was made with corn syrup, and it was kind of creepy and weird. And then, I'm making the same drinks that I was making when I was a bartender.
Oh, interesting.
Like,
okay.
This is, we're bringing in 60 pounds of cucumbers and ginger, and we're using local citrus, and we're using real mint. And our shop is really great. Like, we're all really into the craft of the drink. We're tasting it all the time. We're setting, we're experimenting all the time.
So you raised a little bit of money from your customers, it sounds like. Interesting.
Yeah.
And with the Kickstarter campaign. And then walk us through the next steps. What happened after that?
And then I came into the world of private investors, and that was kind of the friends and family round.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when things get really weird and crazy. Because, you know, these people are like, we're going to get a big return on this. And, you know, you have different ideas of what's going to happen, how much money you need. And
did you have to go pitch your product? You pitched your product
to your
friends and family?
My first private investor came out. It was a random guy who saw me on a TV show, and we connected, and our parts worked together at that time. That was cool. And then one of my customers at a liquor store and introduced me to one of his investors, and then it went that way. And it's been a hustle for sure. But
well, what's the feeling? You go out there, right? You're a bartender. You're good at talking to people, obviously.
Yeah.
You've got that comfort level. You know your product really, really well. But, I mean, what's the emotion when you start going out and doing something you've never done before?
Oh, it's crazy. I feel like if I saw myself 2 years ago, I would be like, who is this guy, right? Like, this is crazy. There's a lot of growth. Like, I spent a lot more time on Excel than I ever thought I would.
As the CEO, you're playing around with spreadsheets, huh?
Yeah, lots
I try not to do that.
Yeah, it's crazy. And then, but it's great. I mean, now we have our canning line. We manufacture right in downtown Sacramento. I have a really cool team. I love having my hands on this stuff. We just started selling in Bermuda, which is awesome. And they're killing it.
You got to manufacture this stuff and put it in a can. Do you do that? Where do you do that at?
Yeah, we do. We're right over by the Blue Diamond Factory in downtown Sacramento, over on 15th and C. Right
and then
about.
You ship it around the country, around the world.
Yeah,
there's a shipping component that's got to be thinking about entrepreneurship, right? When do you decide that you want to put a factory somewhere else so that you don't have to, you know, pay those shipping costs?
Yeah, and the good part is we sell FOB. We just sell right at the door. So when our customer, which are distributors, buy it, they have to figure in their shipping costs.
Okay, so they pay the shipping. That's not a big factor.
They pay the shipping.
But in terms of growing the business, I mean, how do you grow the business? Because, you know, you're doing it all. Obviously, Raley's sounds like a huge account or a great
Raley's
account.
Yeah, Raley's is great.
How do you expand the business? How do you sell?
Yeah, so right currently I'm trying to get into the Vegas market. So I look at it almost like state by state. So like we just launched in Florida last month. So we found a distributor from Florida reached out to us and said, hey, we want to sell your product. Then we give them rights to sell in the state of Florida. I want to get into Illinois and Minnesota. And then I'm working in Colorado.
Why go around the country instead of dominating a smaller market?
We do that also. I mean,
you dominate the Sacramento market.
Yeah, as stuff? Hard as we can.
Yeah, I mean, could I get it at Safeway or could I get it in?
I'm working on Safeway. Okay. I'm working at Save Mart. You know what it's like. You got to do everything at the same time.
Okay.
You know, like, and I some opportunities came up last summer. A group from New York said, "Hey, we want to buy a truckload of your product and we want to sell it in Massachusetts and New York." And I'm not going to be like, "No, we just want to sell it."
Yeah, you take the money.
So and that kind of, you know, but you have this weird growth rate that you have. I'm learning you really have to pay attention to. Like, you could grow too fast and then not be able to support those markets. So that's what we're looking for money for right now.
Yeah. So you're raising money now. To solve what pain point? What are you using the money for?
Sales marketing. Right now, like how do we tell our story in Florida? How do we tell it in New York? How do we tell it in Massachusetts?
Okay, so you're going to use the money to build a sales and marketing effort.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
And right now our team is just 4 people, so it's I can only travel so much, you know.
Right.
And you need some of that local love, people who know the area really well.
And give me your sales pitch. How do you, so let's assume I'm an investor, which I am.
Yeah.
Why would I want to invest, besides the great taste? I mean, you sold me pretty quickly on the taste of the product, the look of the can. Obviously, the product itself kind of sells itself. But, like, from an investor standpoint, I need to make some money, too.
Yeah.
So, talk to me about that.
So, there's a couple different ways to look at it. An exit is always great, you know, like, especially in the booze world. If you look at, like, Ballast Point, they're like the golden boy out there. You know, they exited for over $1 billion, which is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So if you get your big return on the exit, or you get a big return on we come in and we become the one or two purveyors of canned cocktails in the country, and we're generating a lot of revenue from that.
Okay.
And I have big ideas of where this can go. I still think, like, a custom drink like the White Linen could eventually become like a flavor. Like, if you imagine 20 years ago, people didn't know anything about Sierra Nevada, you know, but now people kind of crave that certain flavor, you know. So you almost make it like a thing that they have to look for.
Now, can I challenge you on this a little bit?
Yeah,
is that
totally.
Okay? Okay, yeah. So you get to build, you're going to be number one in the market, which I agree with. I love being number one in the market. If you can dominate Sacramento, a lot of good things happen. To dominate any market, it can be super helpful. But that takes a sales force, right? That takes people. It's not just one or two people. Who's going to lead this sales force, right? You've been a bartender. Mm-hmm. Who's going to lead this organization that can go out and, you know, dominate like we're talking about?
I mean, and that's where the kind of pain point we're in right now is, you know, I have the vision. I have the passion. I love the product, and I can push this thing. And I have a great team. There's some people on my team that are total sales monsters.
Okay.
And we can grow. And ideally what I would love – and sometimes it's like you dream about this person, but then sometimes you're like, maybe I have to become that person, you know?
Yeah, it's interesting.
And I need like a bloodthirsty CEO who's going to just go out and like crush it.
I think we look at that, I think, a lot of times as CEOs, right? It's like starting a football team. You know, you're the quarterback of the team, and you look around and go, should I be the quarterback here? Maybe I need to hire the quarterback. Let me move to a separate position on the team, or maybe I can become that quarterback. Yeah. And we're gonna, you know, we're gonna do things a certain way. But what I found in my business is if I could put the right sales teams around me, it took a little bit of pressure off me to be the big sales guru, right? So you need that sales manager. If you don't have that, or sales director, if you don't have that person, you look to your left, you look to your right, well, guess what? If they're not there, it's probably you. So it sounds like that's where it's at right
now. Yeah, and it's, well, I, you know, my brother has done great sales, and he's on our team.
Okay.
He does a lot of, but he's always great, kind of guiding me, like, He's a lot more conservative and practical than I am.
Well, the other thing I said, you know, you're raising money. You raise some money from your customers. I love that. But who you take on as a partner can make all the difference in the world. Yeah. What's the ideal partner look like for you?
Ideal partner would be somebody who knows the alcohol space a bit, because it's a funny world that I grew up in it, so I know it really well, and I had my hands on this stuff for a long time. And you realize that people who don't know this world, they miss it sometimes, you know? That would be ideal. Or just somebody who, God, just wants to make a ton of money and sell a ton of cans. I mean, that's every now and then I take a step back and I'm like, oh, what's my fight in life? You know, do I, you know, because in order to get this business started, I had to quit my job as a bartender. And the state of California won't let you work in the retail sector and be an owner as a manufacturer. So I was like, well, what's my fight in life? Am I going to learn how to be a bartender and own a business, or am I going to go sell a ton of cans? And that's what I want to do. I want to sell a ton of canned cocktails and just.
Has there ever been a time since you started Can where you've questioned your decision? Maybe you've even lost your confidence a little bit.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's probably like every 3 hours, you know. Like,
so what do you do? Like, what do you do? Like, I think that's happened to me. I don't know how many times throughout my career where, like, am I really on track? Yeah, am I really the guy? Am I really? Do I believe in myself? What do you do to sort of overcome some of those doubts?
You know, one, I have a wonderful wife. She's great. Two, you know, honestly, being an artist and being a painter and you come through a lot of obstacles all the time, and you eventually find joy in your work and actually doing things. Yeah. And that's always, I take a step back and I'm like crying about whatever. And I'm like, come on, man, this is super cool. I was standing behind a bar 2 years ago and now I have this crazy business. And so I dig into the work, you know, I think, hey, let's make some new drinks. Let's make some.
I got my wife by my side. I'm doing fun stuff. I'm making people happy.
That's my optimistic answer. Yeah,
I love it. Closing thoughts for the next guy in line. Obviously, you have gone from bartender to entrepreneur. You're chasing this crazy dream. Advice to the next person in line who's thinking about maybe I can do what Ryan's doing.
Yeah. Know your numbers. You know, you dig into your numbers. You probably need more money than you think. A lot, and just keep grinding away. I see a lot of, just don't give up. I think this felt like the opportunity in life that would just presented itself, and I was like, I'd be so dumb if I didn't take advantage of this. And it's hard. You just got to keep grinding away, and just keep just one foot in front of the other. You know.
Know your numbers, keep grinding away, and always know that having the right woman by your side makes all the difference in the world. I love it. Ryan Tseng, founder of Can Cocktails, thanks for coming on today, buddy.
All right, great. Thanks for having me on.
You bet.
Great.
If you like our entrepreneurial stories, if you like the messages that we bring that inspire, if you want a little more Mark Haney, not everybody does, but if you do, feel free to subscribe. Feel free to be part of our community, engage, comment, share. I want to get to know you better. You want to get to know me better. Follow me on all our social media platforms at The Mark Haney. I look forward to knowing you better. And let's get to know each other better so we can help build these businesses that we love.